Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
This is Bloomberg Best.
Bloomberg Best is about the insight and the context that we get from our guests.
It's a great way to catch up on some of the stories you might have missed on the Bloomberg.
Stories you're not going to find in any other news organization.
Bloomberg Best. Bloomberg's best stories of the week. Powered by 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries around the world.
I'm Ed Baxter.
And I'm Denise Pellegrini on this weekend edition of Bloomberg Best.
Because of the components, the safety components. In addition, think of the inflation of medical costs.
Why auto insurance is so expensive.
If you could take, you know, Emma for a couple of hours while I do this presentation, I will babysit your kids and you and your husband can go out on the weekend.
Progressive CEO Tricia Griffith on bartering for childcare for her 6 children.
Do you own a home?
Yes.
Discount?
Plus some insight into Progressive's best known personality.
All this and more coming up in the next hour of Bloomberg Best.
All right, Ed, you know, one thing most people love to have, right, but don't love to pay for is insurance, right?
That's right, Denise. Auto insurance, homeowners insurance, liability insurance.
But for those in the business, Ed, they look at it from the other side, right? It's all about, you know, measuring your risk.
Yeah, and David Rubenstein had a chance to ask the CEO of Progressive all about it.
And David starts here on the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, by asking Tricia Griffith about the company's business model and advertising.
So for those who aren't familiar with Progressive, and probably if you watch television, you would be familiar because you have a lot of television ads, right? And I'm just curious, why is it that automobile insurance companies seem to advertise a lot? I see your competitors advertising, you advertise a lot. Is that because people really will be guided in their insurance decision by the advertisement?
It's just a really competitive industry, which is always odd because it's something you're required to have. So it's not like, you know, do you pick a different soft drink or a beverage, but it is required. But it is so competitive that to be out there and be top of mind and be on the short list, you really have to be advertising.
So you have a famous character in your insurance, some of your ads called Flo, a woman that plays, an insurance person. Does she get a certain percentage of all the new business she brings in because she's so good, or she doesn't have that deal?
No, she does not have that deal. She is paid per her contract and she's doing fine.
Let's talk about this year. Now, a lot of the auto insurers are up this year, in part because people aren't driving as much. And the theory is if you don't drive as much, it's hard to have an accident. So I presume there are fewer people claiming that they've had an accident, and therefore you don't have to pay out as much. Is that why your stock is up, you think?
I think that might be one piece, but I think we've also continued to grow not only market share, you know, based on units, based on policies in force. And really, if you think about it, yes, immediately in March, vehicle miles traveled have been reduced and losses went for that. But as states have reopened, it continues to go up. And right now, we're still not pre-COVID level of driving. We're about 8 to 10% down, but those loss costs, that gap is closing in because we're seeing more and more people driving more often. And so that lasted a couple of months. And then remember, many companies gave back credits or have reduced rates.
Now, let me ask you about that. If you get a rebate, that was because you voluntarily thought it was a good idea or the regulator said you have to give back money. Why did the automobile insurers start giving back money to their policyholders?
We did it because it was the right thing to do. I mean, we immediately saw driving vehicle miles traveled go down 40%. It went back up pretty quickly to 20, et cetera. But we sat down and said, okay, we don't want margins that big. It's not the right thing to do. We want to be competitively priced. And so we gave 20% credits for both April and May. And then subsequently, we're very analytically driven. So we went sort of state by state, channel by channel, product by product. And so far we've had rate decreases in about 35 states. And those are, you know, baked in permanently.
So today, when people have an accident today, when they do have accidents, the accidents are more expensive than they used to be. Is that because the cars are more complicated, more expensive to repair?
Yeah, they absolutely are. A couple of reasons. One is the components of the car. So I started out as a claims rep, and the cars in 1988, the bumper repair or replacement would be a couple hundred dollars. And now they could be upwards of $1,000, $2,000 because of the components, the safety components. In addition, think of the inflation of medical costs. So if you're injured in an accident, that's another component of the increased severity.
So let's suppose I want to get some automobile insurance. I'm now 71 years old. Am I a good risk as a 71-year-old? Or would you rather have somebody who's 25 and more alert?
That is one variable. So we look at hundreds of variables. So it depends on where you live. Do you live in a congested area? Do you live in the rural area? What is your driving history? Do you have our usage-based insurance? That way we know what time of day you drive, how many miles you drive. Have you had any violations? There's so many things that go into it. So age is only one component.
When I was a teenager, I was told that teenagers are not good drivers and insurance is expensive. Is that true today? Insurance is more expensive for teenagers or not good drivers?
I will say that having six people that drive in my family that we've added over the years, we call them youthful drivers. The issue is that many are good, but they just don't have that maturity. They haven't had the experience. And I remember saying, because you know, a lot of times you'll get rate increases if you add on a youthful driver. And I challenged that when I first got this job. And then I realized having six youthful drivers that there is a reason you pay a little bit more.
You are in home insurance now. And you bought a company that helps you get into that. Why do you want to be in the home insurance business?
You know, for us, it was really access to more of the preferred customer, especially on the independent agent side. We had a relationship with ASI, American Strategic Insurance, for years. We had a small ownership in them, and their values were very much aligned with us. And so we decided to go ahead and purchase them. And it's been a really nice transition, a really great acquisition. And so now, you know, having sort of the whole picture for whatever you want, auto, home, your boats, motorcycle, commercial. And that's why we're continuing to expand, because I think it's really important to diversify.
Is the home insurance business very profitable now?
The home insurance business, it depends on what company you're talking about. We have struggled a little bit because of wind, hail, catastrophes. And we also have been obviously growing our model across the country. We were in about five states for many years. And so we're learning a lot about the product model. So if you looked at our results, we will be profitable, but we're doing the same thing we did on the auto side. We're getting very surgical in our segmentation to understand the right rate for each home.
Are you thinking of getting into the life insurance business? I mean, you're in the other insurance businesses. Why not get into life insurance?
Well, right now we have a great relationship with an unaffiliated partner that we get a commission when we send them to the company. And that's been working really well. And we actually are considering that. We have a life insurance company filed in Ohio. More to come on that.
People say that there's eventually going to be driverless or autonomous cars. And of course, the theory is they will never have an accident because they're perfectly programmed. Is that something you worry about, is cars that don't have accidents, or you're not going to worry about that right now?
I don't worry about it. I mean, from a society perspective, you want to have less accidents. It's good for society. Everyone has been affected by someone who's been in an auto accident. What I think about, I don't put my head in the sand, but what I think about is timing, realistic timing. That's also one of the reasons why I think about, I'm not just executing on our current plan, but expanding and exploring other possibilities, adjacencies to grow our business. I will tell you, though, when you look back at some of the headlines in 2012 that say this type of car is going to be fully autonomous by 2020 or 2015, it'll take longer. And I know that. That said, again, we're preparing for a possible smaller auto insurance industry. But again, we have so many opportunities with other adjacent models, including home and some of the other things we've talked about, whether it's TNC or commercial or small business, all the things that we've expanded to in the last couple of years.
Now, Elon Musk has said he's going to have an autonomous car out there at some point in the not-too-distant future. And he's also said, anybody that's an insurance agent, why don't you call me up because we want to hire insurance agents. We're going to be in the automobile insurance business. Is that something you're worried about a lot?
Not really.
Because?
I think people, I love our culture, and I think they love working here, and I think that we have a huge future. I think that the technology is absolutely there, and I can see a car going from point A to B in a geo-fenced area, but there's a lot to be done. I think it'll be a little bit longer than most people had predicted even years ago.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Let's talk about Progressive's background. Progressive, it's a great name. Progressive, that's a very positive word. Was that the original name of the company? And when was the company started?
Yes, it was the original name. The company was founded in 1937 by Joe Lewis and Jack Green. And they were two attorneys in Cleveland. And they didn't know what they wanted to do, but they wanted to be able to serve the non-standard customers in Cleveland that needed insurance. And so they borrowed $10,000 from Joe Lewis's mother-in-law. And that's how Progressive was born. And you might know Peter Lewis, who ran the company for a long, long time. He was the second CEO, and then Glenn Renwick, and then myself.
How did you get started at Progressive and at the bottom, pretty much? Is that right?
Yeah, I went to Illinois State University, a marketing degree. I wanted to go into something in marketing, but all through high school and college, I worked in retail. So, and oddly, where I went to school is the home office of State Farm, and everybody was doing internships there. And I'm like, who wants to work in insurance? So I went to a retail company for about 6 months. It was called Furrow Building Materials. It was like think of a Lowe's or a Home Depot. I was like, what am I doing? I'm mixing paint. I'm actually forklift certified. And I was driving home one day with my hard hat, and I said, I gotta look for something different. And what I wanted to do was work somewhere for a couple of years, pay off my school loans, and then go to get my MBA. So I went home and opened the classified ads. I'd never heard of Progressive. At that time, we were less than a billion. And I thought, claims rep trainee, this sounds interesting, $19,000, that'll help me pay off my debt, and made the call.
So the job is to be a claim adjuster.
Correct. So what I would do, if I had your claim and you were injured, I would go out and talk to you about your injury and guide you through that. I would crawl under your car and let you know how much it took to get it repaired. I would kind of manage your whole file. I also did special lines. So I was a motorcycle rep, and I basically handled the entire file. So I was in body shops, crawling under cars, and in your house, talking to you about your injury.
You've obviously risen up from the lowest position to the highest position, and you had many different positions in between. One of them, which is very unusual to have for a CEO, maybe sadly, is to be the head of human resources. So how did you go from being the head of human resources to being the CEO?
Well, that, you know, to me, to actually get the CHRO job from having mostly claims experience, during the first 15 years, I had a little bit of sales and a little bit of claims. And Glenn Renwick at the time, my predecessor, interviewed me. It was actually an odd circumstance that I went for it. I wasn't going to, because I don't have any HR experience. I have some maternity leaves, but that's about it. And people kept calling me from around the company saying, you have to go for this. You love diversity. You love metrics. We need this. So finally, I had a pre-interview lunch with Glenn to see if I could even go for it. He put my name in the hat and gave me the opportunity. And I will always say it was a risk for him. He does not say that, but that was really the turning point in my career. And then, you know, he watched me, and I did that for 6 years and made a lot of big changes that we still have now. And the president of claims came up, and that's my dream job because I love claims. I love helping customers. I was able to do that. That's 75 cents of every dollar of premium that comes in you're paying out in claims. So that's a big business piece. And then he gave me all things customer facing. So I had our call centers and claims. And then I was COO before the CEO role. So I really credit Glenn for guiding me, giving me opportunities, coaching me, and sponsoring me.
So as head of human resources, you must have instituted some policies that changed the company's face, because your company's been voted the number one most diverse company in the United States in some surveys. Is that something that you implemented and put into practice?
Yes, we started our diversity inclusion initiatives really in earnest when I was there. We started our first employee resource groups, which was Progressive African American Network and our LGBT plus. Now we have 9. We really set forth a strategy of how we're going to make sure everyone can bring their whole self to work. It was a big piece of our culture, and we started looking at the data. We continue to work on it, though. It's not something that you can ever get a check mark. And if you look at senior leadership, we have opportunities there. And in fact, we are working on some really aggressive objectives for the next 5 years with my team to continue to change that.
Your chairman of your board is a woman, and obviously you're a woman. Is there any other Fortune 500 company where the chairman is a woman and the CEO is a woman? There must be none.
I don't think so. And we actually have 12 members of our board, and 6 are women, and 1 of the female is a person of color.
So when you were the COO, and I guess in line to be the CEO, did you think that they were going to give the job to a woman, or you thought this will revert to the normal form and we'll find a nice white male that we can give it to?
I was hoping they'd give it to the person they thought was the best fit for Progressive at the best time. And I remember interviewing with the board for several years during the process. And one of the board members said to me, "So you want to be a CEO?" And I said, "No, I want to be the CEO of Progressive." And that was what really was meaningful to me. So had I not gotten the role, I'd still be here. And there were lots of other opportunities to have a great CEO other than myself.
So when you were able to go into your office, you were well known for walking into the cafeteria and sitting down with the average person. Why did you do that? Why didn't you just eat in your office with other executives?
Because that is my way of getting to know people and really feeling what's going on with the company. And when you break bread with people, they open up to you, not just about great things, but about things they'd want to change. And for me, I think because of my roots as a claims rep trainee, I always wondered what the execs did. And we don't have an executive cafeteria. All of us eat in the regular cafeteria. It's a very different type of company from that perspective. But literally, it motivated me to be a better leader. Every time I walked up to a table of, 5 people and said, "May I join you?" And they gave that horrible look like, "Please no, please no." And I sat down, I had 5 new friends. And to me, it's an important part to be approachable. You feel connected and you trust your leader, you're going to run through the wall for them.
So when you sit down with people at the employee cafeteria, do they ever say, "By the way, I'm underpaid"? Or is that never, they never say that?
They'll sometimes talk about how they wish they could make more. What can they do? How can they get there? People are pretty open and honest with me.
So as I talk to you, you're not in your office, I assume. You're at your home?
That's correct. I'm in my little library off of our bedroom.
And have you been running Progressive from your little office there for a couple months now?
Yes, ever since mid-March. I go in sometimes once a week just to get my mail and to check things out, but I don't see anyone. And in fact, where I'm sitting here, my son, who's in film school, filmed me weekly for several months so I could send a video out to all of the Progressive people.
Has it been difficult to run the company remotely this way?
It hasn't been difficult for me. It's been unusual, and I don't love it because I love the interaction. I think the biggest part is the claims organization, because that is face-to-face, especially when you're looking at vehicles. But we immediately were able to use videos and pictures to do the best job we could to estimate vehicles, and we're doing pretty well, and I'm very proud of the organization.
When the world comes back, which hopefully it will be in some point in time when we have a vaccine, do you expect that all your employees will come back and work in the offices? Or now do you think you could have people working remotely and maybe save money by not having as much office space? How do you think about this in the future?
Prior to COVID, we already had about 25% of our call center people and some claims people that worked from home just because it worked better for them. I imagine we're doing some surveying as we think about returning of what percentage will that still work for. I think in person, in the office, hallway conversations are so important. So although I think it might increase from that 25%, if you fast forward and there's a vaccine and people feel comfortable, I think a lot of people will come into the office. I think that is something that we've worked through. We've done a really great job, especially with technology, but I know many people really miss it.
You and your husband have 6 children. right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Six children.
His, hers, and ours.
All right. So when you have six children and you're running a company, isn't that kind of complicated? I mean, how do you have time in the day to do anything else?
It was very complicated as I was growing up through the ranks, and my husband worked as well. When I was in HR for a couple of years, we met at Progressive, so he worked there. We both had travel jobs, and at one point he said, when our oldest was going into high school, he said, you know, one of us probably needs to stay home. I think you have a longer runway. And so he decided to stay home. But I think I treat it like everything else. Assume something might go wrong. And so when we were both traveling and I knew I had a big presentation, I knew that morning I would go into somebody's room and someone would have an ear infection. And so I created a network of friends that stayed home, and I did an old-fashioned bartering system. So if you could take, you know, Emma, for a couple of hours while I do this presentation, I will babysit your kids and you and your husband can go out on the weekend. I always had plan B, C, and D, just like you do in business.
What would you say are the leadership qualities that you brought to the table or that you most admire?
I mean, I think the ones I brought to the table being genuine, being authentic, communicating, all the time, painting the picture of where I want the company to go. And I think that's really important. I think people, you're only a leader if people want to follow you. So do people want to follow you? Do you have a great attitude, but also a certain paranoia to make sure that we're always doing well? And for me, I think what I'm most proud of, and I think why I continue to get jobs after that HR job, was I form really great teams. I don't always have to be the smartest person in the room. I know collectively what a team needs, and I love having really great debates. Right. And the only thing better than those debates are the unity, the power in the unity when you come, you come out and you're solidified as a management team, as a leadership team.
So sometimes people say it's very difficult for women to have it all, to have a family and also have a great professional career. It's obviously possible. You've obviously done it. So what would you say is the trick to having it all and getting it all done, if you were to give advice to some younger woman?
I think there's things you don't give up. So Jack played high school and college football. It was important for me to go to as many games as I could of his, and I worked my way around that so I could do that. And sometimes that meant working, at 10 o'clock at night to catch up on things, but it was worth it because my kids tell me, even now, they're like, you went to more things than most stay-at-home moms, because I was so obsessed with making sure I got to almost everything.
So if you were to go to a football game or something like that with your kids, do people come up to you and say, you're the CEO of Progressive, or you try to avoid telling people you're the CEO of Progressive when you go to those kind of family events?
It's funny because my husband says all the time, why do you play 20 games with everyone? Because people will say, where do you work? And I'll say, for an insurance company. Oh, where? In Cleveland. What do you do? I'm corporate. Yeah, so I'll do all these things. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'm the CEO. What I have found, if you're on a plane when you used to be on planes or you're somewhere, a good way to not get in the conversation is they'll say, what do you do? And I say, I sell insurance. And then no one talks to you. So that's, I've found the right thing. I live in a smaller town and my kids went to a small Catholic school. So everybody knows me. When I got the job, the day that it was announced, I was headed to our son's school after the work day to go to his lacrosse game. And our PR department kept saying, the Wall Street Journal wants to talk to you. This place wants to talk to you. And I said, I'm headed to a lacrosse game. Let me call my mom. Let me call my sisters. Let me enjoy this. And I finally said, stop calling me, because I wanted to be present in the moment. And actually, I talked to my five other children. And Jack was on the field, and during halftime, I went up and I said hi, and I went to tell him, and I said, "Hey, I need to tell you some news." He goes, "I know, Mrs. CEO, it's you're trending on Twitter."
Suppose somebody came to you from Ohio and said, "You've run one of the best companies in Ohio. You should be governor of Ohio." Would you have any interest in running for office?
I think government would frustrate me. I like to get things done. I like to move forward, and I'm a big believer in compromise. So for me, I don't think government is in the future for me. I think I'd love to do some philanthropy, maybe a board or two. I'm on a public board now, and do some things with my husband to help the country.
And the higher calling of private equity, that doesn't appeal to you.
I'll let you do that.
And you've been listening to Tricia Griffith, CEO of Progressive, on the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.